It's playoff time in L.A. We're going to get you set for the Rams' big wild card showdown with the Atlanta Falcons and what has made them so successful so quickly.
Rams on 2, the playoff edition, sponsored by your Southern California Toyota dealers.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to the Rams on 2 playoff edition. You like that word, don't you? Playoff edition here on CBS2. With us today is Rams General Manager Les Snead. And Les, it's really kind of amazing what's going on with you and your club this particular week. But first of all, congratulations on all the wonderful things that have happened under your leadership as well as everyone else this year.
You know what? It's a credit to everybody. It's a team. It's an organization thing. It's certainly not one person. And it takes many, and it's fulfilling. But you know what? The fulfillment can't last long because all that did was get us to the next level of the video game, mm-hmm. and that's the playoffs. So that's where we're at, and we're gonna take advantage of that.
First time in the playoffs since 2004. Have you noticed around the complex a certain amount of nervous anticipation?
If you go back to the week before our San Fran game, after we clinched, we decided, you know what, the best thing for the Rams was not week 17, but week 18, and that's this first round, this wild card round of the playoffs. So what I do think allowed us to do, because once we got to 7-2 and we were going to Minnesota, whether it was Minnesota, New Orleans, Philly, Tennessee, we're playing a lot of playoff teams, and we had to win those games to finish out and clinch that division. So I think it gave us an emotional break, a psychological break, and also a physical break. So this week when we got back to work, probably as good a two practices as we've had, and we'll see if that pays off.
So actually, you were preparing for the playoffs before the playoffs.
Oh, no doubt. And given that rest, it shows you what rest can do. And then let's take playoff intensity. A guy like Connor Barron, he's one of the guys on our team that has been in the playoffs. Let's call it the Thursday practice. Whatever day that is this week with us being on a Saturday game, but a normal Thursday practice, he's playing defense. And I just know they ran a play that the Falcons run a lot. And he chased a ball down, probably 40 yards down the field, batted it out, gave a good, if you want to call it, the peanut punch, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. fumble. But it's that type of intensity that playoffs bring.
How surprised are you at the progress that this team has made this year? I mean, it's just like night and day, 4 wins to winning the division championship.
It's interesting. We probably have 3-4 simple goals after last year. And the number one was, hey, get the right head coach for the Los Angeles Rams. 2 was fix the offense. And really 3/4 was don't forget about the defense and special teams. So I think we kept it real simple. Now within those 3-4 goals, there's a lot of layers and things that you got to get through to actually execute it and get results in that category. And I think by taking it day by day, stone by stone, brick by brick, however you want, whatever analogy you want to use, somewhere along the way, guess what? You had confidence that, oh yeah, you could go win the division. And guess what? We did. And now, that got us to this level, the playoff team. But I think the key is way back in January last year, you don't come in and say, let's win the division, get to the playoffs in basically 365 days. It's more, let's break it down to some simple goals, knock those out, and then go to work.
And you surprised a lot of people when you named 30-year-old Sean McVay as your head coach. First of all, that's a little bit of history right there in itself, the youngest head coach in NFL history. I'd like you to talk about the process that you went through in hiring him, because you talked to several potential candidates.
What we did when we knew we were going to be looking for head coaches was, okay, you can look at it from a, let's call it a mathematical perspective, just looking at the results. And what we wanted to do is cast a net. Didn't necessarily have to be from the 12 teams that were in the playoffs. A lot of times that's a trend. Hey, who's in the playoffs? Hire one of their coordinators and going about your business. But, looking at Sean and following him, hey, when he first got the offensive coordinator job, hey, there was mathematical results. His offenses were however you want to spin it, you know, top five, top four, top three in a lot of important categories. And that's come to fruition with us. And also with Sean, the progress that Kirk Cousins made, going from, hey, a good quarterback to basically a great, basically putting up top three, top two numbers with him. So obviously that put him on the map. And then you get in, you sit down, you meet with him, and obviously the viewers who've sat and watched him, heck, on this show and a lot of other places, can feel that he's got a little bit of an it factor. You just feel it, you know it, you got to see it, you got to be there. But I also think one of the more important things, too, was the people that matter the most is our players in this league. They're the ones that are going to go out and play the Atlanta Falcons. And when you vetted Sean with guys in that Washington locker room, both on offense, both on defense, not necessarily in just the quarterback room. Mm-hmm. You know what? They all came back very quickly. Home run hire. When maybe to the outsider, I'm not even sure if hiring the 30-year-old Sean McVay is a single. But for the guys that truly, truly mattered, they all said, hey, this is a home run hire. Do it. Do it as fast as possible.
You know, it's kind of amazing because it's almost like he can foresee things happening before they happen. Great example of that is a tweet that your roommate sent out about what he was talking about with Todd Gurley.
You know, with it being Karen, my wife, she probably wouldn't be called a little more than roommate. What do you think? Although sometimes she probably feels like a roommate,
because
right?
You've gone
in football
a lot,
business.
Yeah.
But I don't remember exactly when that was, but I do know it was after OTAs and Gurley came up. And I think Sean had figured out that, wait a minute, this Todd Gurley, not only can he run, this guy's got a pair of hands that, that you know, can maybe be deadly. And the interesting thing with Sean is knowing Todd's skill set, didn't think necessarily he was going to be able to run some of the routes that he normally ran in Washington, but did think, okay, wait a minute, we're going to be able, this guy's got better speed than you think, he could be a vertical threat. You saw a little bit of that and maybe that wheel route against Dallas, but did think he could be deadly in some screen passes when teams rush, you dump it out to Todd, and all of a sudden, instead of running into 11-man wall, Todd with maybe Whitworth, Sully, and Saffold in front of him, and some DBs, could really be dangerous. And I think from that moment, he predicted his all-purpose yardage, both rushing and passing, and Kerr typed it in those notes and was pretty much spot on. I always say, though, if he would have played Week 17, he might have shattered some of those.
The Rams are taking on the Atlanta Falcons in the playoffs at the Coliseum. Les and I will be right back in just a couple of moments.
You're on offseason, this is what you work for. This is what you do the extra reps for. This is what you study and film to try to find ways to make yourself better, to put yourself in positions to play for a world championship. So hard work pay off, and that's the thing I've been saying. My dad been telling me since I was, 12 years old, working out, you know, trying to get to this point. Just putting the body of work in, man, and just staying hungry.
99 with the sack, and the Rams are going home with the win.
We had tough games. We fought, and we found the way to pull it off. You know, that's what it's about. You know, that's what it come down to. And that's what good teams is about. You know, it's not always going to go easy. You're going to have to have a dogfight game and find a way to win. And that's what we've been doing. So, you know, sky's the limit. And we ain't done yet. So we got a lot more work. But, you know, we're in a good position right now. We playing home. So it's going to be a big game for us, a important game. And I know the fans is going to be there live, making it loud for us. This is for it all. We just got to go out there and perform.
Welcome back to the Rams On 2 Playoff Edition. I'm Jim Hill, along with General Manager Les Snead. And Les, let's talk a little bit and go into a little bit more detail about talking about your head coach and Sean McVay and his philosophy, which really suits your young team because maybe of his youth as well.
He's got a lot of, you know, we could talk for a while on philosophy. I think number one, first and foremost, he wants to attack. He wants to be the attacker. He doesn't want to get attacked. And I think, you know, that basically builds the foundation. He also knows that you gotta be somewhat intelligent in how you attack. And I think deception's one way that he likes to look at it, in that he wants the run game to look just like the pass game when the 11 guys go line up pre-snap. That way the defense has a harder time figuring out, okay, wait a minute, they may be passing here. And kind of make it a 50-50 proposition. You got to flip the coin. You got to make a guess on what you do. And I think those two things are it.
Todd Gurley all the play.
And sometimes when you watch a successful play on the field, whether it is offense or defense, I don't know who's happier. The person that did the play on the field or Sean running to them from 30, 40, 50 yards away to congratulate.
Sean McVay nails it again. He has the perfect play called into this blitz.
I do think when you design an offense, when you call an offense, it can be pretty gratifying when, oh, by the way, all those late hours that you spent trying to come up with the right call in the right situation, and all of a sudden Gurley goes for about 80. You know what? He probably feels just as good or maybe a little better than Todd.
Yeah. And then on the defensive side, I know we were talking about the best thing he could have done is what he did in bringing Wade Phillips in to take a lot of the pressure off him who's going to call the plays.
Yeah, I think that's was huge because if Sean's a really good head coach. He's got the heartbeat of the team. He communicates to the team. And one thing that I think sets him apart from a lot of people is he knows the defense. He knows why they're what they're trying to do to stop the Falcons this week. He can go into a defensive meeting room and help implement the game plan. And he does that intentional because he wants to be in tune with the defense. But he also thinks it helps him as an OC. But what I do think, if he was going to be the head coach and offensive coordinator, having a guy like Wade where you can basically let him have the defense, not necessarily be concerned and are we in over our heads or are we not? You know what? We got Wade Phillips, a lot of experience, a lot of wisdom, a lot of good results. I can focus on being that offense coordinator because to be the best offense coordinator, that's a full-time job in and of itself.
There are a lot of new faces on your club this year. I think of Connor Barr and I think of Andrew Whitworth. And I think of these gentlemen who came from other places like Andrew, who had such a positive impact on the team that he was named a captain even before playing one regular season game.
Yeah, Andrew's Andrew, and you've gotten to know him. You got to get to know him to go, wow, this is a special human being. Not only as a football player, just as a human being. And I think, so he came with an unbelievable reputation. And because we had been a young football team, one of the youngest teams for the last few years, we felt like one of the missing pieces, one of the things we didn't do well in the past. One of the lessons that we learned wanted to apply is, okay, we've got young players, they've got experience, but it's just been them growing up together without necessarily a real pro. So we felt like adding someone like Witt, adding a Connor Barwin, adding a Robert Woods, even though he's a little younger, real pros to this mix of young players that we have to help show them a path, you know, to walk down and be leaders when they themselves would be immeasurable for us.
And when you have those kinds of combinations on your team, it usually spells championships. And Les and I will be back in just a couple of moments.
And for the first time since 2003, the Rams are NFC West champions.
The way that feeling is in the locker room, how happy you are to be able to go through the journey that we've shared together and accomplish one of your goals with the players, with the coaching staff, the support staff, that's a special thing. There's a lot of work that goes into being able to achieve a goal like that, knowing that hopefully this isn't the end of our journey, it's just the beginning, but it's a step in the right direction. In terms of what has allowed us to get to this point, we're going to be consistent with our approach. Certainly, you know, it's a one and done type of mindset mentality where somebody goes home and somebody continues on, but for us, it's one game at a time. We also have a long-term vision on what we know is going to be a guaranteed home playoff game, and that's all we're really focused on, and then what happens after that is what we'll worry about then. But you look at just the way that the games, specifically at the Coliseum, have gotten progressively more important, and I think the atmosphere has gotten progressively better as well. It certainly is exciting for the city of L.A., and I know our players will be excited to play to the best of their ability, and we'll see what happens.
There's only one thing you can say.
Shakes an Eagle midfield. Near sideline. Cooper Kupp at the three. Goes in untouched. Cooper Kupp goes up and makes the catch. Cooper Kupp behind everybody. Inside the 10. Boy. Inside the 5. Touchdown. LA!
And welcome back to the Rams On 2 Playoff Edition. I'm Jim Hill. From rookie head coach Sean McVay to offensive tackle Andrew Whitworth, there were a lot of new faces on the Rams team this year and in the locker room to help change the culture as they went on to win the NFC's Western Division Championship. One other major contributor, rookie wide receiver Cooper Kupp, who led the team in receiving yardage during the regular season.
I think it's been fun just to be a part of this group of guys, a bunch of really great vets, and to have the opportunity now to, you know, continue playing with them. You know, every week now has earned another opportunity to play with these guys and compete. You know, every Sunday has been a blessing to be able to go out and compete with these guys, and now be able to do that on Saturday night this week, and you know, just excited about that.
How surprised are you at the success you've had so far this year?
Yeah, I don't want to say I'm surprised necessarily at it, because I think if I was saying I was surprised, it would mean I felt like I hadn't worked to the point where I had expected that. You know, and you know, I live my life on this. I think we actually, it just happens to be one of our mottos. You know, the habits that you form today, are they on par with the dreams that you have for tomorrow? And so, you know, if my habits coming in all the way this off season, all the work that we put in as a team, you know, moving forward now, you know, those habits, all everything we did was on par with the expectations that we had, you know, for the season. And so, you know, no one in here will say they're surprised about what's to come, because, you know, our habits are a reflection of that.
And you're such a fan favorite, you can hear them in the stands when they start hollering Cooper, can't you?
Yeah, I can hear them. It's fun. It's awesome. You know, we've got some great fans, and you know, I'm excited that we get to go out there on Saturday and you know, play in front of those guys again.
It's really cool. First year in the league, and you're in the playoffs, and your first playoff game is at home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost like you can hardly wait to get to that. But you know, just in time, it'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, no, we've said it multiple times, even just today, just been like, you know, you start to get your nerves, you start getting amped up a little bit, you gotta calm yourself down, you know, because there's still you know, 3-4 days until we get there. So you know, take it day by day. You know, prepare, continue to prepare, and you know, Saturday's gonna come, and we'll be ready for it.
And you can believe young Cooper Kupp will get a lot of attention from that Falcon defense later on this evening at the Coliseum. Stay right where you are, everybody, because when we come back, we'll have our Fan on 2 question of the week.
Rams on 2, sponsored by your Southern California Toyota dealers.
And welcome back to Rams on 2, the playoff edition. Les Snead is with us, the general manager, and this is one of our favorite parts of the program.
Fan on 2, sponsored by your Southern California Toyota dealers.
This week's question comes from Julian in Culver City. The question is, Les, what was the moment you knew Sean McVay was the right coach for the Los Angeles Rams?
Great question. Would love to say that we're very methodical, and we were. So there's two parts to this question. I do think probably less than 10 minutes into the interview, you're like, okay, we better hire this guy, or guess what? We're going to be playing against him, and he's probably going to be beating you. So, and it's fascinating. In that 10 minutes, he showed he had the it. You knew, wait a minute, this guy's extremely intelligent. Some people called him a savant, confident, but very, very humble. I think a moment after we sat down and talked to a lot of guys, I can remember being on an airplane, and we were going through some of those texts and from the players that we reached out on to ask about Sean. Because the one thing, you knew you had a special person, was he going to be able to command the team? And that was a little bit of the youth, the 30-year-old thing. Now, again, in that 8 minutes, you forgot quickly that he was 30 years old. Mm-hmm. You, I don't know what age you thought he was, but you weren't thinking this guy's young and inexperienced. But to see those, the messages from the players, again, those are the guys he was going to have to lead, get inspired, and help them compete for a championship. The stuff they were sending back probably put the exclamation point on, like, you know what, we got our guy, we better go get him.
Being around him reminds me of being around Pat Riley when Pat Riley first took over the Lakers. Youth, inexperience, but immediately got the respect and admiration of the team.
Right, and I think that's a great analogy, because one of our goals was this. It would be nice to hire that young coach and he become Pat Riley while he's working for you, versus going out and hiring Pat Riley after he's become Pat Riley on somebody else's clock. And we felt like with our young team, with our young QB, if we could find that person to do that, then they all could grow together. Similar probably to, you know, Pat, and I guess they were the Showtime Lakers. I was way back in Alabama, so, you know, watching the Lakers from afar, never thought I would ever get to L.A. back in those days. But I do remember following them.
And it's going to be amazing following the Rams as they take on the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC playoffs. And you just stay right where you are because the game is coming up a little bit later on. And so for Les Snead, I'm Jim Hill saying thank you so much for watching Rams on 2, the postseason show. So long, everybody.